Amen. But I do hope tonight that I have something that's helpful. I mean, what's the point if I'm not going to get up here and say something that's going to encourage you and instruct you and draw you, hopefully, Lord willing, closer to the Lord? Then what am I doing? What am I accomplishing? And so I think that's very important. For example, turn to the book of Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 12. The Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus, is writing for us here. Saul of Tarsus, Paul the Apostle, Hebrews chapter number 4 and verse number 12. The Apostle says, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Father, bless your word now. In Jesus' name, amen. Obviously, this is about as classic as you can get by teaching contrast, setting one against another, and that gives you an idea of what the apostle is trying to say. But he definitely is not simply speaking in theoretical terms. He knew how to be abased, and he was abased. And the apostle suffered many times in 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse number 10. He says this. He said, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but of them all the Lord delivered me. The scripture says, if God be for us, then who can be against us? If you listen to some preachers, you think the Lord's standing there with a big club ready to knock you down the first thing, you know, the first time you mess up. He's not. He's not. He's not out to get you, folks. He's not out to get you. The Bible said, he that offered up his only son, how shall not all also with him freely give us all things? He offered the Son of God. That is the greatest treasure there is. He gave his son for us. Amen. As I told you before in testimony, it was not for effect, and it was not simply to have a message to preach that night. I told you what I was in, not in specific detail, but I told you what I was going through. Still am. The circumstances have changed very little, but praise be unto God, I have. And I can tell the prayers. I mean, I can feel them. I have felt supernatural spiritual strength coming to me in ways that I hadn't seen before. It's remarkable. And for that, I want to thank you tonight. I do. I thank you for praying for me. If you run out of people to pray for, pray for me. I want to read something for you tonight. I want you to notice when I read this. Now, this is for instruction. This man wrote underneath one of the YouTube posts of the some of the messages that I've given the last few weeks. Here's what he said. He said, Pastor Lawson, what you're talking about in your life has been happening to me and my wife for 30 years. Okay, put that in the back of your mind. I have prayed until I can't pray. I have believed until I can't believe. The demons of hell follow me to bed at night, and in my dreams, wakes me up in the morning. I'm talking about drug addiction in my home. We have two sons that were raised right. They got hooked on drugs. They live with me and my wife. They live now with the father and the mother. And there is not enough prayers to pray out of this curse. I've been a deacon of the church for over 25 years. Now listen carefully to the last thing he says. And my worth as a person is now dead. You remember what I told you? That one of the things that the spirit that had entered my home was trying to do, was trying to destroy me, to bring me down to nothing. And that's exactly what he wants to do. He can't take your salvation from you. If you're born again, you're sealed by the Holy Ghost. I give unto them the eternal life, not temporal. But he can destroy your identity, your witness, and of course your joy, your power, your prayer life. And he is unrelenting, and he's a master at it. You can't outsmart him. You can't use tactics or logistics to try to outdo him. What we have to do is go to the one who's able to deliver us, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So I ask you tonight, please continue to pray for me. I'm your pastor. You see me. I'm here before you. I have, in the years pastoring a church, tried to minister to people, help people. But there's been areas that I have never been in myself. And so I have to give them scripture in that sense and pray the scripture speaks to their needs. And that's a good thing. But the reason this man wrote this to me is because he knows I'm in hell like him. That's important. You see, you can't tell a man you know how he feels unless you really know how he feels. And when a person reaches out to you like this man has reached out, it's because he knows that I know what it feels like to be in hell. And to pastor and minister to you tonight, I have to try to minister to you in the sense that you may have to go through something like this, or you may have already gone through something like this. And I wouldn't wish it on you or anyone else. It's one of the most trying times in my life. But it has done something for me. It has begun to forge a certain character in me that wasn't in there before. It has begun to show me things in needs that I could not see before. We all know theoretically the needs are in the world. We know all about that. But to know how someone feels and then know how to minister to them. I know a little bit about how to minister to this man. And because he knows, I know what it feels like. Now, his circumstances are a little different from mine. I don't have an issue in my house with drug addiction. Thanks be unto God. That's one demon I haven't had to deal with. But we've had families in our church, and still do, that have children that are drug addicts. And I have been to more than one funeral of a 20 or a 30-year-old dead from drug addiction. I've been there. Oh, yeah, more than once. And it's a tough place. It's hard. One of the things that you have to learn in life is that when you make decisions, you need to keep this in mind. Whatever decision you make or whatever choice that you choose for your life, you're going to affect other people. And the ones that you're going to hurt the most are the ones who love you the most. That's right. And that's just the way it is. If they really love you, they're really going to hurt. And most of the time, unless you are a sociopath, you don't want to hurt those that hurt that you love, that love you. You don't want to do that. But drug addiction is a godless curse. Because sometimes the person wants to be free of it, and the body won't let them. And they have to have supernatural, spiritual strength to overcome the addiction. And you can. You can. I've seen this happen before. It's not an easy thing. It's easy to get into it, but it's not easy to get out of it. This brother mentioned a moment ago about these pastors, these preachers. He didn't mention, I don't know their names, so, you know, I'm not up here tonight to go after anyone, but I can feel for these men. A lot of times, some of the worst criticism will come from in the church. And it shouldn't be that way. We should bear one another's burdens. Because, see, folks, you do not know how you are going to react under certain circumstances. And you do not know what may happen to you or your children as it relates to drugs. Now, you may despise Donald Trump. And I'm not up here preaching politics to you tonight. That has its place. This is the Church of God. When you come through that door, you're not a Democrat, you're not a Republican, you're not red, you're not yellow, you're not black, you're not white. You're one soul that Christ died for. And that's the way it ought to be. This is not a Republican church. It's not a Democrat church. That's the way it ought to be. Because what pulls us together is not politics. What pulls us together is Christ. Our fellowship is in the Son. But in any event, Venezuela sits on the largest proven oil reserve in the world. Now, that's a big statement. Digest that for a moment. Now, if you look at a map, Venezuela sits right at the northern tip of South America, and it's right on the Gulf, right there, practically, of the Gulf of, well, it used to be Mexico, and they've changed it now to the Gulf of America. But it is a remarkable place, because for at one time, not too long ago, it was a very prosperous place, and obviously with all that oil, good night, man, I mean, you're sitting on a fortune. And but communism and socialism and so forth and so on, and the godlessness of it, has pretty well raped the country. But in the process of it, they've been shipping drugs into this nation, and a new one is fentanyl. And they say there's more that newer than that, and it's killing people. It's killing people. So on the surface, the point is that they shut off the flow of drugs into America, and Donald Trump is a businessman, and he knows that 50 years, whenever it was, Hugo Chavez, I think it was, kicked out the oil companies and seized their assets. And so there's billions of dollars worth of assets that belong to the United States. And, you know, you can read it, and I'm not up here tonight to carry on with all that stuff. But anyway, some are blaming him and saying the only reason he's in there is because of the oil. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I do believe that he's concerned over the death of so many people in this country. I do really believe that. But here's the point. There would be no need for a war on drugs if we didn't have so many drug addicts. There has to be a market. I mean, they're bringing this stuff in, but somebody's buying it. See, somebody wants it. So let me warn you tonight, young people. You are the biggest fool that ever walked this earth if you think that you can play with drugs and you're going to live a happy life. No, you're not. They'll destroy you. They'll destroy everything that you love. They'll destroy you. And of course, the Bible warns about that. He that maketh a mock of sin, don't mock it. You know, you can't play with a rattlesnake. So this man raised his kids right, and yet they became drug addicts. And what happened to them? They went out and got, you know, meaningful employment, bought a home, a wife and children, and contributed to society. Is that what they did? No, they stayed with mom and daddy. They're incapable of taking care of themselves. So what does that do for mom and daddy? Well, they love their children. You understand that? They love their children. And that's natural, they should. And of course, I believe this man is reaching out for help. I really do. I believe he said, my worth as a person is now dead. Well, I'm going to tell you, that's how he feels. But as long as the Holy Ghost is in him, and he's in him, he's not dead. He needs an awakening. He needs a reawakening of the power of God in his soul. Somehow or another to reach in there to him and get to him what got to me. And I said to myself, as Fanny Crosby, when she was blinded by a country doctor who put mustard poultices on her eyes when she was something like 4 or 5 years old. And I don't know if she was completely blind, but practically she was blind. And here's what Fanny Crosby said. She says, I settled it one day with God that I would not let this destroy my life. And you know what he did? God blossomed something different in Fanny Crosby. He brought something alive, and when you sing her songs, you know good and well, you're singing Fanny Crosby, and she loved the Lord. And there was a power in her life. And this is the way God does things. He has to tear down sometimes the old to build the new. And when we pray, and I pray, don't you pray? And you ask for things from the Lord. Well, here's where we make a great mistake. We've got it all figured out how he's going to answer that prayer. How many of you made that mistake? I have. Oh, yeah, I got it all figured out. Now, Lord, I want you to do this. I know exactly how you're going to do it. And what if he decides to do it another way? And what if he decides what he's going to do for you may not be exactly what you're asking for? Like he said in Romans 8, we really don't know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us. So I jotted down some things that I dealt with, and I think if you have to go through something like this, that you should do it too. The Apostle Paul, in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, gives you a list of so many of the things that he had to endure and what he was going through in his life. But on a spiritual level, 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 16, this is a wise apostle, because really the Apostle Paul did not want to write anything except something that would give glory to God. That's all he cared about. He didn't want any glory for himself. But look how he deals with it. In 2 Corinthians 11 and verse number 16, he said, "I say again, let no man think me a fool, if otherwise, yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little." See this? Stepping into this area, boasting. You know, how many times have you heard a preacher get up and boast on himself and say, "We're giving all the glory to God"? No, you're not. You're boasting on yourself. Amen. Give me a break. Verse 17. "That which I speak it not after the Lord." See his honesty? He's telling you this is not inspired. This is his opinion. This is his experience. Now, it's not that his experience cannot be inspired, but the Apostle Paul is honest about things. And I like that, don't you? He says, "I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly, in this confidence of boasting. Seeing that many glory after the flesh, I'll glory also. You suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise." In other words, you allow me to speak as a fool. In other words, you suffer fools wisely. In plain words, go ahead, fool, say what you have to say, but we've got a little more wisdom than that. We know where to go. What am I without Christ tonight, folks? What do I have that I did not receive of the Lord? Right? And I'm no different from you. And so the apostle goes into a long list here. Look at verse 25. "Beaten with rods, stoned, suffered shipwreck, night and a day I have been in the deep, journeys often, perils, waters, perils of robbers," so forth and so on. He's listing all of these things that absolutely would destroy a lot of people, don't you think? And have. But here's what he says about all of it. He said, "It will not," he said, "that did not move me." What does that mean, preacher? The apostle says, "I have a foundation in Christ, that I cling to him and to my calling and to who I know who he is. And I will not be moved away from that, even though everything I look at in life tells me the opposite. My experience is opposite. Everything else that's happened is opposite to that." But he said, "I'm not going to turn loose of the Son of God." That's what I said. I did, boy. I said the same thing. I reached down in something that was in me before I ever came into the church. I reached down to a time in my life when I said, "I'll fight you to the death." Something about my character that was like that. And then God took it and he brought it under the grace of God and control of the Holy Spirit, where we submit ourselves to him. And we have to do that. We do. The old man is still the old man. I've still got that old man in me. And Satan knows every button to push. He knows everything to say to me. But thanks be unto God that I came to the church and I told you, "Please pray for me. Please pray for me," because I knew it was a spiritual battle I was in. And I knew I needed help. And don't let your pride keep you from doing that. Please don't do that. Don't let your pride do that. Your pride will destroy you. I said to myself, and I've prayed this prayer many times since then. I never prayed it before until just the other day. I started saying something to God. "Don't let me turn on you." You ever prayed that prayer? I hadn't prayed that prayer in 50 years at pastoring a church. And I've been through some stuff in here that you just wouldn't believe. But I got to a point in my life where that started coming out. And I didn't intend for it to, but I kept saying to the Lord, "Lord, don't let me turn on you. Don't let me turn on you." Don't let me turn on you. This is why I identify the Apostle Peter. He said, when they left, the Lord said, will you also go away? He said, to whom should we go? Where are we going to go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. When am I going to go? Am I going to get mad at God and stomp off out here in the wilderness? This is his church. This is where he shows up with the Spirit. He walks amongst us. You have any idea how many times I'm away from here, but I think my mind comes right in here. And I think about the services we have and the power and presence of the Holy Spirit of God. Why, brother be dead than to not be part of the church? Amen. This means something to me. This is valuable to me. Amen. This is why I have such a problem with these folks out here who say they love the Lord and love us, but they'll never come to church. Come back to church. Are you watching? You need to be right here. Fail not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. And so much more as you see the day approaching. That's mean, preacher. I'll say it again. How many of you agree with me? Did you see the hands? Woo! I never did read that book about influenced friends, you know, how you make the influence. Come back to church. You need the fellowship of the believers. You need to be here. You need to interact with somebody. Get away from that tube. It's got its place, but that's not church. Come to the house of God. And you can come in here and you can get down in the altar. You can pray with people. You get next to somebody that's breathing. Somebody alive. Amen. I'm glad I got that said. Amen. Don't let me turn. You need to say that too. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you may be going through. I don't know what's going to happen to you. And by the grace of God, I'll do everything I can to stand by your side. I really will. And we as humans, though, we can only go so far with you. The Holy Ghost can go with you in the valley of the shadow of death, though. He can go with you in places no man could ever go with you. And that's what's important. God has revealed things about me. He really has. He's revealed things about me. Last Sunday morning, good night, man, I got up here and I started bawling and crying and I thought, boy, I didn't know what to say. It was so wonderful. The Spirit of God was so sweet this past Sunday. I wouldn't swap that for anything. Man, how wonderful it was. I'll tell you the truth, though. You get up here in the pulpit, and who was it, Lucas? I think it was Lucas the other day. He was up here preaching. He's talking about how, I wish I had a camera so I could show you what you all look like. And I'm telling you the truth, man. Some of you ought to get a prize for the longest. We ought to do that. We ought to have a competition sometime for the longest face at Temple Baptist Church. Oh, Lord, help us. I mean, crack that shell. Come on, join in here. We're not pious and holy. Our holiness is Christ, and righteousness is Him. Amen. It's a wonderful thing, though. Yeah, it is. So the Lord has, by the grace of God, I didn't choose it to be put into the type of ministry I am, but I feel things now that I didn't feel before for people. It seems like I can feel it when I can just tell certain people when they're crying out and when they're praying or something. I feel it. And, you know, it's not that I was indifferent to it before. It's just that something's been awakened inside me. And so therefore I know good and well he's given me a ministry. And by the grace of God, I'll fulfill that ministry. I'll do whatever the Lord's called me to do. I don't know about you, but I got it worked out with him now. What's that, preacher? When he's done with me, I'm leaving here. Amen. I don't know about you all. You may plan on laying around somewhere in a nursing home for 20 or 30 years, but no thank you. No, thank you. When he taps me on the shoulder and says, come on home, son. Amen. He knows the time. He knows how to do it, when to do it, and so forth. I'll leave that up to him. Don't you think it's best to live your life like that? Yes, it is. So would you pray for this brother? He didn't leave a name, and that's all right. He doesn't have to. Maybe he's listening. Maybe he'll hear this. But I want him to know one thing. This old boy right here is going to pray for him. And I'm going to pray that that in the grace of God, he may not change all the circumstances in his home. He may not. But I know this, there's no doubt in my mind. God can restore his sense of identity and who he is, and he can lift him above that. And he can let him walk in victory. And walk in victory doesn't mean that all your enemies have been destroyed and moved aside. What it means is, he'll put a place for me at his table in the presence of mine enemies. And I can sit down. And while they growl and scream and yell and mock, pass the beans, please. Then come on. And just sit there and go about your business. Live your life for the Lord. Live it for the Lord tonight. Amen. I don't go back to a perfect situation. No, I don't. But I know a perfect God. And I know what he's done for me. And I don't know why. I cannot explain to you tonight why he's been so good to me. In so many things, he has been good to me in ways that I can't explain it to you tonight. And who am I? Would he not be good to you too? If you're in a need tonight, I'm in a real need. Why don't you just cast your care upon him? Just break through your pride. And you don't have to tell me. You don't have to confess a bunch of stuff to me. I'm just a man. But talk to the Lord and say, Lord, you know, something's eating me up and I don't know what's eating me. Lord, I want your hand in my life, but I don't even know how to tell when it is in my life. Talk to him in plain, simple terms. You'd be surprised how God will answer you. You don't have to be a master of systematic theology. Most folks probably don't even know what that means, but systematic theology is a system of belief set about whether you're a Baptist or whether you're a Lutheran or whatever, you're this or that or this or that. And this is what we believe. And a lot of the stuff, it's good stuff, but folks, this is what I believe. I'm a Bible believer. And systematic theology can be one of the most boring things you ever got into in your life. Amen. But you see, you don't have to know any big Bible words. You really don't have to understand a lot of the doctrines of grace, mercy, justification, your redemption, all these. There's wonderful things. All you really need to know is, I love Christ. I believe in the Lord Jesus. I got problems. I got needs. And I'm coming to you with them, Lord. And that's good enough. He'll hear you. Think about it. If you come to me as a little child, you won't be turned away. So one more time. I don't know this brother, but here's what he said. Pastor Lawson, what you're talking about in your life has been happening to me and my wife for 30 years. Now, see, I haven't been going through that for 30 years. I've prayed until I can't pray. See what he's saying? I have believed until I can't believe. The demons of hell follow me to bed at night, and you feel them, boy. You feel they can't possess your soul, your spirit, but they can sure harass your flesh. And my dreams wakes me up in the morning. I'm talking about drug addiction in my home. We've two sons that were raised right, got hooked on drugs. Now see this? Kids are raised in Christian schools. They're given all the right training, the right environment, and all that. And that's a good thing. I'm not criticizing that. We had a Christian school for 5 years here. And no, there's nothing wrong with Christian schools. But a Christian school, my dear friend, does not make you a Christian. What makes you a Christian? Christ makes you a Christian. He that hath the Son hath life. What it does do, and it's a shame, but it does do this. A child raised in a Christian environment, in a Christian school, knows all the cliches. They know all the scripture to quote. They know exactly how to turn it on and turn it off. They do. They know all about it. And I don't know how many times I've had one stand up here in this pulpit. Preachers come in here for revival, and they'll say, my daddy was a pastor. He was a pastor of the church. They'd say, I remember one in particular, I can't think of his name tonight, but I remember him saying from this pulpit, my dad was the pastor. I learned all the cliches, all the talk. I knew when to walk, what to say, where to go, how to do, how to act, this, that. He said, but I was full of hell because I didn't know the Lord. Well, it wasn't his daddy's fault, and it wasn't the Christian school's fault. It was his fault. But when God came to him, He got saved. And then wound up preaching the word. Isn't that wonderful? God delights in doing that. He said, I have two sons that were raised right, got hooked on drugs, and they live with me and my wife. And there's not enough prayers to pray out of this curse. See what's happening to him? I've been a deacon of the church for over 25 years. And we love our deacons. It's an honorable thing. But there's really no, he could have simply said, I've been a pastor, a preacher of a church. It could be anything like that, Sunday school teacher. And he said, my worth as a person is now dead. That's the end of Satan. That's what he wants to do to you. He wants to destroy you. Some of you tonight may be on that wrong path. You may be on a path of self-reliance, self-understanding, you know, figure it out. The truth be known, you're really worshiping your mind instead of God. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. He said, remember this past Sunday morning when I got up and quoted Isaiah 55? As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways, my mind, higher than your mind, my ways than your ways. Yes, yes, and it is. This would be a good time to pray. It would be. I've got a little prayer closet. I fix up places to pray. I'm awful bad about being a person of, if you watch me do something one time, well, you'll see me do it again and again and again and again and again. I've got a place I go to. I light a few little candles and I sit down there and all I've got is candlelight. And there's something about a candlelight that's just, it's different. That flame is real. You understand that? That's a real thing. And I pray. I pray. I got to where because my legs are swelling, I can't get down on my knees. I used to do that. So I had to figure out another place to go to pray. So I got that figured out and it works good. Whatever works for you, find you a place where you can pray. And folks, pray. Please pray. Talk to him, because he wants to talk to you. Father, in your holy name, bless your word. God, you know this dear brother. Oh, this, from the way he talks, from what he said, this is a humble man. This is a man that's been beaten to death. He's a man now that's groping in the dark. Lord, send light into his soul. Heavenly Father, I don't know how much of the circumstances that you'll change. But I know this, Lord. I know you can change him. And you can lift him above it. And I pray for him right now. I ask you, Lord, to come into his soul and his spirit. Reignite what's in him. He knows you. Oh, for so many years he's lived for you. And raise him up. And let him see as Job did, Father. You, in your Bible, Job said, and when he saw the end of the Lord... Now, Lord, I don't have to quote the book to you. You wrote it, but I quote it for myself. To see the end of the Lord. You've got a purpose. You're working your purpose out. And I pray for this dear man. I pray for him, oh God. Oh God. I can tell a lot about how he feels because I've felt it. And I pray for him. And your heads are bowed tonight. Maybe you'd like to pray. Would you like to pray? If you'd like to come down to the altar, gather around in here, I'll pray with everybody that wants to come down here. Love to pray. Love to pray. Love the opportunity to pray. Shucks, we'll pray again now. We'll just come down here and talk to the Lord. I'll pray from up here. Oh, but we have what a wonderful privilege. What a wonderful privilege to be able to pray. It is. It's a wonderful thing. And we'll talk to the good Lord. We're not coming down here tonight to try to figure each other out and judge everybody. We're coming down here as brothers and sisters to love one another and to bear one another's burdens. And in some cases, when the Holy Ghost moves on your soul to begin to intercede for someone else, and God does that. He gives some people the ministry of intercession. It's a wonderful, wonderful ministry. Some of you, he may move in your heart, and you may have felt tonight what this dear brother feels that wrote that on YouTube. My Father, we're thankful, Lord, you bought this and you paid for it and you gave us the privilege to pray. You made us who and what we are. And as far as I can understand in the Bible, Lord, we're the only ones that can truly pray. Angels can't do it. Seraphim, cherubim, none of them. But we can. That means there's something special about prayer that brings us into a relationship with you that nothing else can have. And this is why you say that we're made in the image of God. Lord, tonight I don't fully understand all of what that means, but I know that it means that we are different and we're precious. And we have the Spirit of Christ in us. Oh God, I pray for these dear people. Lord, you know all the hearts, all the burdens, all the souls, all every bit, everything that's here. You know those, our Father, tonight who haven't prayed in a long time. Well, maybe tonight will be a good start for them. And they'll start back. And they'll go back to their closet. And they'll start praying again. And see things begin to happen in their life. For those tonight, Lord, who carried a great burden in here, Father, I pray that you'd give them the spiritual discernment and wisdom to know how to leave that burden with you, how to put it in your hands, how to trust you with it, because we can't do anything about it anyway. I pray for them. There may be some came in the house tonight, they're dirty, they feel dirty, they know they're dirty. They do that, they do. It's eating them alive. Well, Father, give them grace. Move grace in their heart and give them the grace to confess and repent and turn from it and cleanse them and let them get up and walk out of this house tonight clean and rejoicing in Christ our Savior and know that the blood has washed their sins away. And Father, tonight I pray in Jesus' name, give Temple Baptist Church a spirit of camaraderie where we love each other, we join together and bear one another's burdens and pray for each other. And then have a true body of Christ in here, not just a bunch of people singing songs and having services, but a true body of Christ. And then may our Lord Jesus Christ be everything there is when we come into this house. May we lift up and exalt his holy, righteous name. In the name of my Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Bless these dear people now. Bless them, Father, tonight. Bless them and help them. In thy holy name, I pray. Amen, 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 amen. 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 Amen.